Emmanuel Episcopal Centennial. This is a telephone conversation with Diane Watts on September 18th, 1986, in Rapid City, South Dakota. The interviewer is Dana C. Jennings. All right, you're being recorded.
I feel that not only have the recipients of prayer been changed, but I think the people who are praying have grown spiritually through the years and through this ministry. That's it, David. For instance, Lena Prober made the remark, and we changed this, that we had our people we were praying for because of greed. We had been keeping them on for a month. Lena Prober said at one meeting, if you had let go of me after a month's time, I couldn't have coped with my life. She said, I needed your support much longer than a month. So we changed and to the 6 months. So
it's on grief only.
Yeah. You're taking me off guard. Yeah, let's see. Not a vote of confidence. What would you say, Lena?
Something that she could actually feel.
Yes, yes. And all of us within the group have made that remark in some instance. For instance, I said, when I was laying upside down in the chair at the dental office, going to have all my periodontal surgery, well, I'm not in this all by myself. There's about 30 other people pulling for me this morning. And I really did. I was laying there upside down, and I really did think that. And it really was a source of support. And I wasn't in it all alone. And each, that was, you know, a testimonial. And each person has said as much. So, you could word that.
Oh, we'll work it out.
That is all the dictation.
Professional Travel Limited. We will be closed Monday, September 1st for the Labor Day holiday.
Emmanuel Episcopal Centennial telephone interview.
Hello?
Lena Prober.
Yes.
How long have you been associated with Emmanuel Church?
1946.
What was the occasion of your coming to Emmanuel?
And having come here in the Air Force, my husband and I joined the church at that time.
Uh-huh. You had been Episcopalians all along?
No, we had been searchers all along, and had never joined a church. And I knew the background I came out of was never going to help me.
What background was that?
Holy roller.
Uh-huh.
I knew I'd never make it if I had to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Where are you a native of?
New York State.
And came here by virtue of the military, Air Force. Yeah. What was it that appealed to you about was it the Episcopal Church or the Emmanuel Church that most appealed to you?
I think we would have to say that it was the people we met. We met the Kornbergs at that time.
The whom's?
Kornbergs.
Uh-huh.
Carl and Kit Kornberg.
Kornberg.
Q-U-A-R-N-B-U-R-G.
Q-U-A-R-N?
Yeah, Carl Kornberg. There you have a memorial at the church.
B-E-R-G.
Yeah. And I think their influence in the fact that Mr. Pipes, which was the minister at that time, we met those people before, and I think the influence of meeting them, I think the influence of meeting the people. Having been with the military, you know you can meet some awful people. Or some you know
I frequently hear Reverend Pipes referred to as Mr., and then you just now made that distinction between Mr. and Reverend.
He never chose to be called Reverend. It was his choice that he be Mr. Pipes.
Uh-huh, but he was a fully accredited Reverend.
Oh, yes, he always definitely, yes. Yes, we impeached him.
We
impeached him.
And you were superintendent of Christian education, was that your title?
We had a couple of coined terms because when I was in Christian education work, there was no degree as such. You know, you didn't go to college and get a degree in Christian ed.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's available, and so I went through that transition period with people who were trying to get this as a recognized educational position.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Christian education director.
Were you, did you take special training in this area?
Yep.
Where?
Cass Lake, at a workshop, and with seminarians and so forth, and also on the reservation, and probably went to, as a matter of fact, I have all of that down in a resume.
Mm-hmm. Would you send us that or drop it off? You know, there's a box.
My memory.
And did you work in the field in places other than Emmanuel?
As a consultant, because it was an organization here in Rapid City, and we did workshops, and we were consultants for other churches. There was a very good group of Christian educators until the time Tim Vann came. He Tim Vann was here. And then after that, it kind of went by the wayside because there were not enough people in that position in the churches to have a working group. It kind of fell to the ministers and pastors of churches a little bit more at that time.
It wasn't that Tim Vann did away with it.
No.
Oh, just
but
coincidental.
He did attend it. In part of his position here, of course, as youth worker and so forth.
Now, how long did you have that position at Emmanuel?
Let that resume tell you that because it was two different times.
All right.
And anyway, I took that over in 1972, and I've forgotten what the closing date of that was, and also came back.
What is your outstanding memory regarding the church?
I don't know quite how to answer that except for the fact that it fulfills my needs. How can you say anything better than that?
Right. And it is still doing that after all these years?
Well, right now I don't know what my needs are, but we won't go into that. Since February, I'm in a state of flux, and I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, that was when Fritz died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, stressful time.
And I'm completely lost. I'm
sure.
In a mess right now.
I can understand that.
Yet, from Gertrude Wilhite, she goes back farther than I do in the church. I was there, but I had a 7-day-a-week job.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not participate to the extent of knowing, and having no children.
Mm-hmm.
I was not in the Sunday school is for say and stuff, but you know, she gave me information where we had, well, when I started there too, there were well over 100 students in the church school. And of course now we dropped down and dropped down and so forth. But I tried to get her before she left here to give me the list of, as far back as she could remember, the church school superintendent. Do you have anything of information like that?
Not at my fingertips. It might be in the record someplace.
Well, see, they wouldn't be all listed in a nice spot. You'd have to search and hunt. I do have a folder here of some things, and I gave a folder of things to somebody years ago when the first committee started out on this, 3 years ago or so. And whether you ever received that or not, I don't know.
No.
And I had, I think, a picture of the church. Now, she wanted to say something about Roosevelt being here, how they drove the car up on the steps. Let him get out. They put a ramp out, and there was an iron fence in front of the church then. Do you have that picture?
No, we have a picture, but not a very good one. I'm looking for more.
Well, let me see if I've got anything on that. I know I've got a picture somewhere of that, of someone taken in front of that iron fence.
Yeah, I would like to have that.
And I've been going to call you and talk to you and ask you, you know, a few questions about what did you have, what did you not have. Did I have something you could use? It's actually there anymore. Talk to is Florence Fredrickson. Did you talk to her?
No, I haven't yet.
It's not Fredrickson now. You know what her name is?
No.
Shoot.
Florence Fredrickson.
She was Mr. Pipe's secretary and kept the minutes for vestry.
Okay, just a minute. I think that would be Osterhoff.
Yes, right.
He's in the hospital with a stroke at the moment.
Oh, that's bad.
Gertrude Wilhite, some of that I missed. Now, you were talking about the Girls Friendly Society.
Mm-hmm.
And who started that again?
Well, I don't know that she started it. Mrs. C.O. Knight.
Knight.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Who recently died.
Yeah. But I think if you would go back to, I was trying to think who was, the Schultzes might have had some people, girls, you know, young enough. It goes way back. It has not been in existence since I have been participating actively. So 72, it had faded away before that. But I was trying to think, like, who of our people today that are our medium-age people that might have been the young people of that day, whether it would be Maxine Steeler. I don't know that they were here early enough. I don't know when some people came, but like, that even Ben might know them. Ben Blumenthal might know them that day.
Ben Blumenthal?
Yeah. They might have. They could probably lead you to people who were either in the groups then.
All right. We'll work on that angle.
And I know there was material left there at the church, but I'd say with some of the guild and the wife at this group, the Girls Friendly Society, there. And I talked to Gertrude about that, too. I wonder if they have anything on that. And that's all we did. We talked to each other.
And you saved all that guild material, and you're afraid somebody threw it out?
Well, I wouldn't have any idea, but I know that they did not have any respect for anything that was there. I think they just took boxes and fired them. But there was some stored in that room off from 3 and 4. Closet off of there, and then for 5, there was stuff up on the top shelf, but I think they've torn, I don't know what they've done there. Well, I haven't been down there for a year or so. And then there was some story at one time under that closet at the foot of the stairs, but I don't think that's there anymore. I think they've
been. Well, look around. That was a telephone interview on September 18th, 1986 with Nina Krober, K-R-O-B-E-R. In Rapid City, South Dakota. Interviewer is Dana C. Jennings. Emmanuel Episcopal Centennial telephone interview.
Hello?
Nina Krober.
Yes.
How long have you been associated with Emmanuel Church?
1946.
What was the occasion of your coming to Emmanuel?
And having come here in the Air Force, we joined. My husband and I joined the church at that time.
Uh-huh. You had been Episcopalians all along?
No, we had been searchers all along and had never joined a church. And I knew the background I came out of was never going to help me.
What background was that?
Holy roller.
Uh-huh.
I knew I'd never make it if I had to go that route.
Where are you a native of?
New York State.
And came here by virtue of the military, Air Force. Yeah. What was it that appealed to you about, was it the Episcopal Church or the Emmanuel Church that most appealed to you?
I think we would have to say that it was the people we met. We met the Kornbergs at that time.
The whom's?
Kornbergs. Uh-huh. Carl and Kit Kornberg.
Kornberg.
Q-U-A-R-N-B-U-R-G.
Q-U-A-R-N?
Yeah, Carl Kornberg. There you have a memorial at the church.
B-E-R-G.
Yeah. And I think their influence in the fact that Mr. Pipes, which was the minister at that time, we met those people before. And I think the influence of meeting them, I think the influence of meeting the people. Having been with the military, you know, you can meet some awful people. Or some you know,
I frequently hear Reverend Pipes referred to as Mr., and then you just now made that distinction between Mr. and Reverend.
He never chose to be called Reverend. It was his choice that he be Mr. Pipes.
Uh-huh, but he was a fully accredited Reverend.
Oh, yeah, he always definitely, yes. We impeached him.
We what?
We impeached him.
And you were superintendent of Christian education. Was that your title?
We had a couple of coined terms because when I was in Christian education work, there was no degree as such. You know, you didn't go to college and get a degree in Christian ed.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's available. And so I went through that transition period with people who were trying to get this as a recognized educational position.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Christian education director. And then what was the other term? Anyway, there were two different terms.
Were you, did you take special training in this area?
Yep.
Where?
Cass Lake at a workshop and with seminarians and so forth, and also on the reservation, and probably went to matter of fact, I have all of that down in a resume.
Mm-hmm. Would you send us that or drop it off? You know, there's a box.
My memory.
And did you work in the field in places other than Emmanuel?
As a consultant, because it was an organization here in Rapid City, and we did workshops, and we were consultants for other churches. There was a very good group of Christian time Tim Van came. He
until
joined
when?
It too.
Until when?
Until the time Tim Van was here. And then after that, it kind of went by the wayside because there were not enough people in that position in the churches to have a working group. It kind of fell to the ministers and pastors of churches a little bit more at that time.
It wasn't that Tim Van did away with it.
No.
It was just coincidental.
He did attend it.
Mm-hmm.
In part of his position here, of course, as youth worker and so forth.
Now, how long did you have that position at Emmanuel?
Let that resume tell you that because it was two different times.
All right.
In a way, I took that over in 1972, and I've forgotten what the closing date of that was, and also came back.
What is your outstanding memory regarding the church?
I don't know quite how to answer that except for the fact that it fulfills my needs. How can you say anything better than that?
Right. And it is still doing that after all these years?
Well, right now, I don't know what my needs are, but we won't go into that. Since February, I'm in a state of flux, and I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, that was when Fritz died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be a stressful time.
And I don't, I'm completely lost it.
Sure.
In a mess right now.
I can understand that.
Yet, from Gertrude Wilhite, a list, she goes back farther than I do in the church. That is, I was there, but I had a 7-day-a-week job, so I did not participate to the extent of knowing, and having no children. I was not in the Sunday school as per se and stuff, but you know, she gave me information where we had, well, when I started there too, there were well over 100 students in the church school. And of course now we dropped down and so forth. But I tried to get her before she left here to give me the list of, as far back as she could remember, the church school superintendent. Do you have anything of information like that?
Not at my fingertips. It might be in the record someplace.
Yeah, well, see, they wouldn't be all listed in a nice spot. You'd have to search and hunt. I do have a folder here of some things. And I gave a folder of things to somebody years ago when the first committee started out on this. 3 years ago or so. And whether you ever received that or not, I don't know.
No.
And I had, I think, a picture of the church. Now, she wanted to say something about Roosevelt being here, how they drove the car up on the steps to let him get out. They put a ramp out, and there was an iron fence in front of the church then. Do you have that picture?
No, we have a picture, but not a very good one. I'm looking for more.
Well, let me see if I've got anything on that. I know I've got a picture somewhere of that. Of someone taken in front of that iron fence.
Yeah, I would like to have that.
And I've been going to call you and talk to you and ask you, you know, a few questions about what did you have, what did you not have, did I have something you could use? It's actually there anymore. Talk to is Florence Fredrickson. Did you talk to her?
No, I haven't yet.
Her name is not Fredrickson now. You know what her name is?
No.
Shoot.
Florence Fredrickson.
She was Mr. Pipe's secretary and kept the minutes of the vestry.
Okay, just a minute. I think it would be Osterhoff.
Yes, right.
He's in the hospital with a stroke at the moment.
I haven't
been able to get in touch with her.
Oh, that's
bad. Gertrude Wilhite, and some of that I missed. Now, you were talking about the Girls Friendly Society.
Mm-hmm.
And who started that again?
Well, I don't know that she started it. Mrs. C.O. Knight.
Knight.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Who recently died.
But I think if you would go back to, I was trying to think who was, the Schultzes might have had some people, girls, you know, young enough, because it goes way back. They had, it has not been in existence since I have been participating actively. So it could be too, it had faded away before that. But I was trying to think, like, who of our people today that are our medium-aged people that might have been the young people of that day, whether it would be Maxine Steeler, I don't know that they were here early enough. I don't know when some of the people came, but like the show, Roy Pugh's family. That, even Ben might know them. Ben Blumenthal might know them that day.
Ben Blumenthal?
Yeah. They might have, they could probably lead you to people who were either in the groups then.
All right, we'll work on that angle.
And I know there was material left there at the church, but I'd say with some of the guilds and the wife at this group, the Girls Friendly Society, there. And I talked to Gertrude about that too, and I said to her, I wonder if they have anything on that. And that's all we did, we talked to each other.
And you saved all that guild material, and you're afraid somebody threw it out?
Well, I wouldn't have any idea, but I know that they did not have any respect for anything that was there. I think they just took them and fired them. But there was some stored in that room off from 2 and 3, 3 and 4. See the nursery one? 3 and 4. The closet off of there, and then for 5, I had, there was stuff up on the top shelf, but I think they've torn, I don't know what they've done to that room. I haven't been down there for years. And then I did, there was some story at one time under that closet at the foot of the stairs, but I don't think that's there anymore. I think they've...
Well, look around. That was a telephone interview on September 18th, 1968.
Grand Rapids City, South Dakota. Interviewer is Dana C. Jennings.